You're listening to Syntax, the podcast with the tastiest web development treats out there. Strap yourself in and get ready. Here is Scott Tolensky and Wes Boss.
Welcome to Syntax. This is the podcast with the tastiest web development treats. Today we have a super interesting guest on, a super interesting story about Kanye West. I'm just going to say that. Kanye West is not on the podcast right now, but close enough. We'll talk about that in just a second, but we'll do our sort of pre-show stuff that we need to talk about real quick. We are sponsored by two awesome companies, Sentry, which is going to do all of your error and exception tracking, and Sanity, which allows you to build with structured content. So you can distribute to any device or channel over flexible APIs with a fully customizable React.js editor. We'll talk about that partway through the episode. So with me, as always, is Mr. Scott Tolensky. How are you doing today, Scott?
Hey, doing good. Yeah, feeling the flow of things. Yeah, I don't know. We just launched a new course yesterday, and so I am ready to start the month over and start working on the next one.
Awesome. Yeah. Congrats. That's good.
Happy to have Harry here today.
Yeah. So welcome to our guest, Harry Dry. Welcome, Harry. Thanks for coming on.
Absolute pleasure, guys. There's no place I'd rather be right now.
So Harry is a developer from, where are you from, England?
Yeah, I live in London at the moment.
Awesome. So Harry's a developer from London, and I don't know, maybe a couple months ago, this sort of came across my Twitter feed, which was this random website, which is thekanyestory.com. And Harry built this dating website for Kanye West lovers, which is absolutely hilarious. And he's a web developer and sort of just made it work. And he's just got this insane story, both in terms of like web development and building the thing, but also in terms of just like getting in touch with Kanye West's management and all. So I won't spoil it too much. But so what we're going to do today is we're sort of going to go with Harry through this crazy story. And then we will sort of talk to him about like, how do you even get ideas for this kind of stuff? What do you do when you hit, like, this is the ultimate side project that totally blew up. And it's like the perfect example of things that you want to do. So we're trying to pull enough out of them that we can, so that you can sort of like maybe build your own Kanye West dating website. So Harry, do you want to give us like just a quick rundown of who you are and whatnot, and then sort of talk about the
whole
story?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Harry, I guess, a humble web developer from the land of London. And I've tried a few side projects before, and they've kind of been very hit and miss. Well, actually mainly miss. And this one flew a little bit more. So I funnily enough, someone I think tweeted it to Wes because he features a little bit in the story, and Wes messaged me and here we are. So I'll run you through it. Funnily enough, I'll start back in 2017. So I was at university. I went to Durham University in England and did economics. And by third year, I kind of knew that I didn't really want to be in a suit talking rubbish about macroeconomics for the next 50 years. And at this point, I had two things going on. I was in a little art group, and I was trying to write a book, and neither were going too well. And I kind of convinced myself that the reason why they weren't going too well is because we didn't have a website. So at this point, like, websites seemed, I don't know, like a totally, like something which only MIT people could make. I had absolutely no interest in this sort of stuff at all. I'm so bored of economics that I had to try it. So I think I started out on Code Academy, as a lot of developers do, and I did the HTML course and working through that in the library. I think I was probably supposed to be doing my dissertation actually at the time, and did the HTML course. And I think when you look back at it now, as people who maybe have a little bit of experience with development, it's easy to forget that when you start, it's just such a like a black hole. Like, it really is like a blank canvas, really. So funnily enough, I did the HTML course and I had like no idea what to try next. And Code Academy, for some obscure reason, recommended me Angular. So I kind of jumped from HTML with very little knowledge to Angular. And then I spent a month and a half trying to piece through this and just going absolutely nowhere on it. And little did I know that Angular probably wasn't the language I should be learning straight out of HTML. So fast forward a little bit, I think, and by this point I figured out Reddit was a website which existed, and I started asking questions on there, like, you know, how do I learn web development, basically? And people replied, and I think some really great messages came back. Someone said, the Net Ninja, this YouTuber who is absolutely awesome. Mm-hmm. I started doing his courses.
Yeah, he's a huge, huge YouTube channel, doesn't he?
Yeah, I don't actually get why he isn't bigger than what he is. He's really amazing. I'm a huge fan. And the others were, I think people mentioned JavaScript 30 and then Level Up Tuts was being talked about. And I started working through these. So I looked into JavaScript and I remember being in the Bill Bryson Library. It's Durham Library. And my dissertation deadline was looming over me here, but I just really wasn't into it. So I distinctly remember I was on level 3, it was about 5, 6 p.m., and I cracked open Wes's drum kit, which is the first first tutorial. I'm sure we've all been there and done that one. And it was a bit of a breakthrough moment because, and I mean this in a nice way, but I used to think websites were for really smart people, and I just couldn't really do
They're
it.
They're not. I'm not.
Yeah, that's what I learned. But I saw you kind of like a bit of a bumbling fool in the nice way.
No, totally. That's why I love leaving all of my goof ups in. So it both shows my debugging process, but also shows people like I really, I'm not just going to cut out like half of the video, which is me goofing up.
Right.
You got to leave it. And Scott, you leave a lot of your errors in as well, right?
I do. Yeah. Specifically, even like the typo ones or the ones that show, okay, unexpected token on line 19. Well, let's go to line 19. Nope. There it is. Oh yeah. I accidentally typed something.
So exactly. Bumbling fools for life.
Well, that gave me a lot of reassurance, really, and working through these tutorials. And then I finished university and I went actually and did a coding boot camp after that. I went to Israel, funnily enough. There's this company called Founders and Coders, and the idea is that it's a free boot camp. So what you do is you take the course and then you end up being a mentor. So that's how it kind of pays itself back, I guess.
Ah.
Well, unfortunately, I had to leave for personal reasons. So I'm back in the UK at this point and didn't really want to get a job. I was trying to like puzzle it through in my own world and at my parents' house. And when I left Nazareth, the Founders and Coders course, they were doing Node. So I picked up Wes's course, Learn Node, and started working through that. And slowly but surely, just in the Chichester Library, just hammering out the videos, skilling up and I'm getting there slowly but surely. And I'm a big fan of real world stuff. So I think at this point, I kind of was just copying a lot. I was, I'd be copying videos on YouTube, Wes's the Learn Node course. And I think there's two different types of knowledge. There's kind of blog post knowledge, and then there's more real world knowledge. And, you know, if you read a blog about Kubernetes and Firebase, it's never going to be like that in real life. And I was kind of conscious of that. So I thought, like, let's try a project. Like, let's try and like make a startup. There's no better way of getting into it than trying to do a real world startup. So I come back from uni, and my friend Giles had sent me these huge canvases, these Twitter canvases, and they had a tweet on it from Roger Federer. And I was thinking, what has Roger Federer tweeted me here? What's happened? And it turns out, no, it was just all photoshopped, and it was this little gift he'd given me. But I got so into this gift, I thought it could be a £1 million idea. And I said to Giles, like, let's make a website where we sell these canvases and it's going to blow up. We're going to be huge. For me as well, it was just a great project to like cut my teeth in development. I could kind of do a little project and it'd be real world stuff. So I couldn't do any design at this point, really. And Giles was not too good either. So again, I'm on YouTube and that's kind of how I learned it all, really. Just, all right, how do you design a website? And I think at this point, Scott's got a sketch YouTube series,
which
is really good. So I was doing it about 4 or 5 years after it was recorded. I think you recorded it ages ago.
Yeah, 2012. Yeah, long time ago.
2012. But I was convinced this is going to be like too old, but it really isn't. I just, sketch hasn't evolved.
Hasn't changed that much.
No.
So I'm doing, design this website and like make it blue. Actually, for any designers out there, what I did was, I had Sketch kind of on my computer figuring it out and I still couldn't really do much good stuff. But what I did was I started finding websites online, which I loved. So that Stripe was one. And I would just try and make it pixel perfect in Sketch. And the philosophy was that you've got to know what it feels like to create a masterpiece. So I think you could throw enough shapes around in Sketch all day and you'd really get nowhere. But I would just duplicate these sites pixel perfect and slowly you sort of realize, all right, that's how to do a button, or that's how you add a shadow, or whatever. And I don't know, it really brought it to life for me.
Nice.
That's, I love hearing that. That's exactly how you should do it. Like, I did the same thing with like implementing it in coding. Like, just do it pixel perfect and you're going to learn so much along the way, rather than just trying to grasp at these like sort of abstract concepts that you often will find in a tutorial.
Yeah, and I was going to comment on your design overall, like specifically on the, you know, the Kanye Story website. I mean, it seems like you do have some design chops there. Do you have any design background, or is more or less just all self-taught?
That's actually such a big compliment, because I had forever, I felt like I had an inferiority complex with my designs.
Yeah,
I look at that 140, the site for the Canvas project, honestly, like it sucked for about a month. I was just trying to redo it. And I guess it's all practice. And I think the skill I've got is I'm really not afraid of copying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like a bad thing. For example, with the refactoring UI guys, like I know you guys are both fans, and they show you some amazing design. You just copy it and change it so that it's your own thing. It's mm-hmm. how I think people learn. Just going back to the whole copying thing, that's how I got the idea from this writer called Hunter S. Thompson. And he used to copy, he's a prolific writer.
Oh yeah.
And he copied out The Great Gatsby word by word, the whole book. And that's what he said. He said, like, that's how I learned. I just copied out the best things in the world and you get there.
Huh.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy, to say the least.
Yeah, I'm not sure how good he would be at web development.
Yeah.
His site goes live, and I think on the first day we put it on Product Hunt, and it sold just one. We sold one canvas. For me, that was amazing. I was 20 years old at home, and the first money had ever come through from Stripe. And it was a bit of another kind of game changer. I think I've heard people talk about this, but you know, the first little bit of money comes in and you sort of realize, you know, I can actually use my development skills to, if I make something cool, people will pay me and I don't necessarily have to get a traditional job. It's a big thing. So the site kind of 140 canvas, that rolls by, and to be honest with you, the site pretty much just died, but it was, I think everyone starts there really. Like there's no kind of, actually, this is an analogy. So I look at success a bit like a wall. And then all your failures, all like the 140 canvas, the canvas project, all of this, they're just bricks in the wall.
Mm.
And you have to kind of lay them in, and then you end up maybe a few years later or 5 years, 10 years later with a bit of a finished wall.
I think that's a great way to look at it. I know we talked about failure before as just being like one of those things that you have to get through if you want to push on, you want to grow in that way. I'm such a huge fan of that technique of just doing things, figuring out what the problem is and growing from that problem rather than letting that problem hold you up or define what your skill level is or anything like that.
100%. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So Canvas project out the way. And then I'm lying in bed one night and I've got just looking through Twitter. It's one of those bad habits which I haven't got rid of.
Yeah.
And I saw there's this Donald Trump dating site, which had kind of going crazy on Twitter. It went viral. Opened up the site.
That's actually how Scott met his wife.
No, it's not. Please don't start any of those rumors. I don't want any of that.
But the site, I load up this site and I saw Scott's photo on there.
No.
And I thought, that's Scott Tulipsky from Level Up Tons. I know that guy.
Oh, God.
I load up the site and it's just a load of rubbish, really. It's an awful site, but for whatever reason.
I think that got hacked like right away. The Donald Trump dating site, I'm sure it got hacked.
So I look at it and it's getting like all this attention. And I think forget Trump. It's a really kind of brilliant idea because you're just leveraging a massive audience, a massive fan base, which is already built. And they're just piggybacking on it and they're probably doing really, really well. So I felt like, all right, what could I do here? Like, I want to make more websites. A dating website is a good challenge. So I started writing down viral ideas like Harry Potter. In the UK, Brexit's a really big thing. So I thought, what about a Brexit dating site? Maybe that's fly. And then I'm a huge Kanye West fan. So I felt like, you know, build what you love. And I know a lot about Kanye. So let's try that. And also maybe I'll meet someone at the same time. Who knows? The next day I wake up out of bed, I buy the domain Yeezy Dayton. And as a backup, I also bought Brexit Dayton, but it never got used. And I put up this pre-launch page online. It just says, a dating site for fans of the genius Mr. Kanye West, coming soon. And then underneath I wrote, Taylor Swift fans are banned from this website. I feel like with these things, that line was essentially, a platonic gesture. No one's ever going to, I'm never going to ban Taylor Swift fans,
right.
But
yeah.
It just gives a little hook for the media to kind of get their teeth into.
Yeah.
And I think in...
Oh, man. I should say that for those listening, Yeezy is Kanye West, like his own brand. It's like a Adidas meets Kanye. He's got like famously, do you wear Yeezys?
Yeah, kind of embarrassed too, but yes, I do. I wear shoes.
It's okay. Yeezys. I've got a couple of pairs too. So he's got these like silly shoes that are actually super comfy. And that's what Yeezy is. So yeezydating.com.
I should have made that clear. Actually, it was just yeezy.dating. I think it was
yeezy.dating. Sorry.
I think the thing was, this is a funny thing, that if I bought a .com with Yeezy in, it was like 10,000, 20,000. But for some reason, the .dating domain just hasn't taken off yet.
Oh, so that's funny.
It was about $7. all right. So then at this point, I was doing some work, some really simple development work for a payments company, just a couple of days a week. And I had to go. At this point, I live with my parents in Portsmouth, which is really South England. And I have to get the train up to this company each day, come back. And I'm sitting in this meeting and my phone rings in this payments meeting. I wasn't really too present in the meeting, to be honest. And I turn it off and then I turn it to silent. It rings again. I turn it off and then I dash out of this meeting and I check my, I had emails set up on MongoDB. I think, again, it just shows, I guess, my naivety that people would probably use MailChimp and stuff. I just didn't know about that stuff. So I was just saving everything to Mongo. And I checked the database and there was like 15,000 emails in there. I was thinking, what's going on here? So I Googled Kanye West's name and suddenly it's everywhere. Like Fox News are talking about it, ABC News, MTV. I get the train back home and like hundreds of unread emails. People are trying to get me for interviews, TV interviews, radio interviews, everything. And
oh my God.
Little did they know that it was just a 21-year-old in his pajamas at his parents' house who just put up a landing page one day. I should actually add that to kind of spark off all that media stuff, I just posted on Reddit. It was that simple, really. And the post got about 700 upvotes. I did it the night before, and so I went to work and never really checked. And I think an earlier break at work, I just emailed it off to a few journalists. And I think it's kind of funny that with the right idea, I guess, that you don't really need to kind of try that hard. Maybe that's the wrong message to give out, but some things just kind of fly, I suppose. So had all these emails in this email list, and it suddenly hit me that I really have no idea how to make this dating site. I was getting the train back into London, and on the train, my friend texted me. He was like, "The BBC want to talk to you right now. They're talking about you on Radio 1.
Oh my God!
You've got to talk." And I was on this train, so I tried to call the number, but there was no service on the train, so I couldn't get through to them. And at that moment, I was just thinking, like, I'm blowing an opportunity here because I'm trekking into London every day. Someone's got to build this site. And after that night, I got back home and I called my boss and just explained to him that I was going to leave because I was making this Kanye dating site. And he laughed at me.
Oh, my God.
He wished me luck. He was brilliant about it. I think he kind of got it, I guess.
He kind of got it, I guess.
I'm not sure. I really don't know. He was a cool guy. So next day, it hits me, all right, I've got to make a dating site now. And at this point, I'd been coding for about 8 months. And again, like, although I kind of got over the hurdle where I felt like you can actually do web development, I still felt like apps and stuff and like complex sites, they're just for the geniuses. I could never do a dating site. It just seemed inconceivable. So the only thing going for me really was I had done Wes's course and I had Taster. What was it again? What was the restaurant? What was the restaurant called in LearnNode?
Dang, that's delicious. So on my LearnNode.com course, we build a restaurant review. So you create a restaurant, you can update it, you can comment on it, you can review it. Like, you get the point, right? It's a standard app that you sort of build in a tutorial.
Yeah. So I had Dang, That's Delicious open on my computer on the localhost 777. And I was just thinking, all right, I've done that course. How do I maybe transition that into a dating site? And I realized this term afterwards, it's called CRUD, which again, I had no idea of at the time, but essentially it was a bit of a similar thing because on Wes's course, you create stores and then you can delete stores and you can like stores. And it's not that dissimilar from dating. So you can create profiles, you can upload a picture, you can like profiles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Only thing is really missing, I guess, were like chat and notifications. So they came a little bit later on. But I think here, a huge thing I picked up from this was like just the importance of being thrown in at the deep end. If it wasn't for these, you know, 15,000 emails and barking at me every day to actually make a dating site, I'd have probably spent 6 months in React or some fancy framework just trying to figure it out, and probably would have got really nowhere, or I'd have done the same work I did in 6 months as I did in 1 month. And I think doing the site, like I love this line by Confucius. He says that those who think they can and those who think they can't are both usually correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in web development, there's no better application of that quote. If you think that you can solve the bug, you're going to solve the bug. If you don't think you can solve the bug, you're not going to solve the bug. If you think that you can make a dating site, you're going to figure it out. If you don't think you can, you won't. And fortunately for me, I guess that my hands were tied. Like I had to do it. So just slowly but surely, the thing gets pieced together. And in Node and Pug and MongoDB, the same stack as Learn Node. And I had this little ritual before I release a product where I have to go to the phone shop because I haven't got any testing software on my computers or anything. I have no idea how to really browse a test, like that kind of technical stuff. So every time I cycle down to Vodafone, the phone company, go into their shop and I say to them, oh, I'm just browsing while I load up the site on all these different like iPads, iPhones, and then I'll make a few different accounts on each of the devices and just test it and ping some messages around, test that it's all working. So I get out the phone shop, here we go, like site's ready to go, put it online. And it started off like people flood into it, 10, 20, 30 users. People are matching. I'm talking to girls on my own dating site.
Oh my God.
It's going crazy. And then suddenly, and Wes, I've got a bit of a bone to pick with you here. Suddenly what happens is the left, right, center, the images just start vanishing from my site. Profile images disappearing one by one. And what I realized in hindsight was that, I think I'm right here, feel free to correct me, but the way that you save images on the Learn Node course is that you save them to Heroku, or like you save them to Heroku file storage or something. So I just completely copied that using Malta and stuff. But I think that that's like a temporary solution. I'm sure you probably mentioned it on the course, but I just didn't listen.
Because the way that the course works is we just save them to the server, not using like a S3 or a Cloudinary or anything like that. And if you're using one of these like immutable hosts like Heroku, they just get wiped out when you redeploy the website.
Yeah.
Because it's push only, right? So sorry about that.
Oh, that's funny.
So yeah, that's what happened to me. I kind of, the first iteration of Yeezy Dating was a dating site without any images on. I had sent out a big email saying, all right, guys, like, it looks like I messed up here. I think I spun it as the servers have crashed too much traffic. And I came back 2 weeks later and I figured out Cloudinary was a solution. So I kind of figured out how to do that and put up the site live. And again, it goes pretty well. Like I get emails from people. They're saying, I've just had my first date on Yeezy Dating. Thank you so much for the site.
Oh my God.
Gets more press coverage. It's going good. But I think what kind of struck me at this point was I'd made this site, it was going well, but I still felt really out of my depth. So I had no real marketing experience at this stage. I was fixing all the bugs. You know, most dating sites probably have millions of investment and, you know, 50 employees. I was just trying to work it out day by day. And I was really tired as well because of the intensity of making the whole site. And then it was taking its toll, put it that way. So slowly but surely, you know, the traffic was at like 30,000 and it just drops day by day. And I had a theory at this point that I can save this. I got one kind of play to save the dating site. And it was, what about if I get Kanye West involved? Like, that's a surefire way of transitioning this.
Because that's what a reasonable person would say. That's hilarious. What if I just get Kanye West involved? I actually think that's the solution for level up tutorials here. Let's just get Kanye involved.
Yeah, numbers would spike, I think. So I didn't know what I was doing here either. So I started out on LinkedIn and I would just message people who worked at Yeezy and just be like, you don't by any chance know this Kanye West fellow, do you? And no, that didn't go anywhere, to be honest with you. I think I spoke to my dad and he said, look, you know, you've got to do something pretty grand to get him interested. So I thought, like, what if I write a song or if I put up a plane or something? And then it hit me that Kanye just tweeted the day before that he was opening offices for his new company, Yeezy, in New York, London, San Francisco, and Wyoming. And I thought, all right, I've got it. This idea just flew to my head. What about if I put up billboards in these four locations saying, phone me, Kanye West. I've got ideas, followed by my phone number. And this thought comes in, and like I shut it down. I was like, you're never going to do that. You're never, ever going to do that. And it just, for the whole day, just kept like, I don't know, kept coming back to me like, what if you do it? So I started calling billboard companies. I would call them up and I'd be like, hey, how do you get a billboard up? How does this work? How much money does it cost? How long can they stay up for? And I just realized that it's actually so cheap. So for a billboard in Times Square in New York for 24 hours, it was like $670, which I thought was crazy. So I kind of just, I guess I followed through with it. I lined up all these billboards, all going up at the same time.
Oh my God.
Super psyched. And I had a problem though, because I didn't live in any of these locations. So originally I just felt like, oh, this will go huge and people will take photographs. But I had done enough projects to know that things just don't really work out. So I did a bit of, use my brain a little bit. I had this Mongo database for all these users who were on the dating site. And I did like a little query for locations. So I found like, all right, in New York, there's 250 people on the dating site. In London, there's, I don't know, 200 people. And I just pulled them all out and sent them emails being like, hey, I'm putting up a billboard in Times Square. By any chance, could you swing by there after work and take a quick photo and send it to me? And people did, I guess. I got, well, the billboards are about to go up and I'm primed, I'm ready to go. And I get an email into my inbox from the company called Lamar, who are going to be putting these things up. Mm-hmm. And it says, like, we can't put up these billboards. They're blocking Kanye West's right to privacy, just being told by the legal department. And I was thinking, like, damn, I've already paid for the London one at this stage. This is all going wrong here. Like, I have to do them all together. And walked downstairs, and I talked to my dad, and I was thinking, like, maybe I should pull out. Maybe this is all too big for me. And he kind of says, like, don't worry, Harry, we'll figure it out. We always figure this stuff out. So we both start calling the Lamar billboard company. My dad's pretending he's a BBC journalist following the story. Hey, like, I'm following this kid. He's putting up billboards out here. Apparently it's going huge. We've got camera crews outside right now. And but they're not budging, put it that way. They're just not.
They're not buying it.
So we came to a sort of compromise that we could say, instead of Kanye West, Mr. West, not really using his name. And they said, okay, that's fine. So 10 minutes later, stress is over. The billboards go live. Get all the photographs through. I put out some tweets, emailed all the journalists who I kind of had lined up. And the next day I see Kanye's name trending on Twitter. I was obviously following it all quite closely. I was thinking, what? Have I done it? Is this story, has it taken off? And then it turns out, no, it hadn't. Because what happened was, this was exactly the same day I did the billboards. It was the day when, I'm not sure if you guys would remember, but Kanye did that TMZ interview where he says slavery sounds like a choice.
Yeah.
So that kind of hijacked my story a little bit. And I think he had other things on that day.
Timing.
But I wouldn't. It's what it is, really. I think I got really lucky with the first dating site, and maybe a bit unlucky with the second one, or the second billboards. But I was chatting to my dad, and we just felt like we'd put in all this work and we shouldn't just give up. So we started trying to track down the headquarters of Yeezy on Google Maps. We sort of found roughly where it was, but there was no addresses or anything. We found companies nearby, and we just started calling them up, explaining that I'd made this dating site and I was young and, you know, I put up these billboards, anything you could do. And the phone gets put down on me. And then suddenly this young girl just says, yeah, like, my friend works for Yeezy. I'll send this over. So I think that was a bit of a lesson, I guess, that, you know, all the fancy stuff like trending on Instagram, going viral, press media coverage, whatever, it doesn't really get you anywhere. Like, all it took was a lot of hard work. We phoned the numbers, we got a breakthrough, and a couple of days later, an email drops into my inbox from this this contact at Yeezy saying, oh, we've just seen everything. Like, we'd love you to talk to our CFO.
Oh my gosh.
Chief Financial Officer.
So before we hear about what's in that email, this story is insane. We got to stop for a sponsor real quick, which is Sentry. Sentry does all of your error and exception tracking. We've talked about them a lot on the website. You install a piece of code and then errors that happen will get logged to the Sentry backend, and you can sort of see. I'm going to highlight one feature of Sentry, which is custom queries. This is pretty neat. They have the way they say it is dig deep, no shovel required. So if you want to know, like, how often are these errors happening? If you want to search for specific errors, you can use their custom queries editor here, and you can search by file name or function. You can sort by count of how often it is. You can aggregate them. You can search where the country code is not null. They've got some good examples on the website here. So if you've got tons and tons of data, sometimes too much data is hard to sort of dig through and figure out, like, what's going wrong and is this actually an issue or not. So Sentry's custom query, which is available on the business plan, is pretty nifty. You can check it out. So try out Sentry at sentry.io and use the coupon code TASTYTREAT. You're going to get 2 months absolutely for free. Thanks so much to Sentry for sponsoring. All right, Harry, what was in that email?
So this girl, Ashley, maybe I shouldn't say her name, but yeah, it's all right. This girl, Ashley, said, yeah, the CFO wants to chat. Let's, like, line up a call. And then she sends through a WhatsApp message, which was, actually, I don't think this was from Ashley. Just, I got sent this WhatsApp message. And it's essentially, I think it was the Yeezy, like Kanye's, like, group chat in his office, and they were saying, I can't remember exactly what it said. I think it was something like someone showed this to Kanye. Let's run a drop in. What's it called? Like a taster at the office. Let's see how it goes. Directed to Kendall Jenner. Someone send it to Kris Jenner. Like, and I was thinking, oh my god, this has really taken off. So the CFO calls. We have a chat, and it's a lovely guy. He gave me lots of time on the phone, and he said we'll keep in contact. It's like we had more back and forth on email. And to be honest with you, I think he probably sussed out that I was just this really kind of naive 21-year-old kid and I was nothing to worry about. Part of me thinks that I think he wanted to call me to check that it wasn't like some big company who were going to make a big play and like steal their brand name or something. And he was lovely, but I think he kind of saw me and probably was like, oh no, this guy's harmless. He's not going anywhere. So we had more back and forth, and then suddenly he stops emailing. I was like, it's a little bit odd. Maybe he's busy or whatever. But then I later found out from the girl, lovely like girl at Yeezy, that there'd been huge changes. So loads of people had kind of left the company. I don't quite know why, but there was just big changes at Yeezy. So this guy there who I was kind of chatting to, he'd left. And I was out in the cold, I guess, to a degree. So the site like rumbles on. I also, from that, like I started getting loads of calls, people saying, oh, do you want a job? Like, do you want to work for us? So I had the site and I was still doing that. But at the same time, I was still not a great developer. And I felt like I could go into a job here at kind of a good level. And as a web developer, which would be a transition from economics, I could like pick things up. So I started out as a web developer for a bit, site in the background. And then slowly but surely, I guess, I kind of just, it's a little bit sad really. I kind of just like slowly lost interest in it. And then I accidentally deleted the database, which didn't go too well. And I guess that's more or less the story. That's kind of the whole year and a half of Yeezy dating. And I think although, you know, the end isn't as crazy as it could have been, I think that the whole of like year and a half doing that was just training. And I think that the best thing to do if you're in development, if you're into startups, whatever, is just get in your training early, because like the first things don't really go well. And if you can train in like a jiu-jitsu, a real life situation, a real life combat situation, you're going to get so sharp so quickly. And, you know, although maybe it didn't pan out as I wanted to, it was a crazy thing. And I think it fast forwarded me like 4 or 5 years, I'd say.
Yeah, I think this is the perfect example of just getting your hands dirty and making something. I mean, this is, to be honest, an extreme example of that. I mean, you got... way further than most people who are just going to hack together something. And that's hilarious and amazing. The whole story is absolutely amazing left to right. But I think it just goes to show you that even somebody who's just picking this stuff up and learning from a perspective like that, you can make amazing things with this technology. And you can make things that get all the way to Kanye West with this level of skill. I mean, it just goes to show you where our tools and everything are in the year 2019. It's amazing.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's such a crazy story. And it, like, it really reminds me of my first thing that I built, which was this daily deal aggregator that, like, I just put it together for myself. And then I shared it with a couple of friends. And then, boom, it blew up. And before I knew it, like, people are saying it's a startup, and I had investors emailing me, and I'm just like, whoa, like I'm very underqualified for all of this. And I'm sure you would say that about your story as well. But if you just keep stabbing at different things, and before you know it, something's going to catch, something's going to work. Same thing with my like YouTube videos. I was just making random blog posts, and before you knew it, one of them caught on and go, oh, this is one of the kind of the cool things.
Yeah, I think 100%. I think that, of what Scott said, like, to the outside, this is magic. You can't, someone looking at it from the outside, be like, what, a dating site? How would you do that? But once you start looking at development, like, bit by bit, and really take it step by step, lesson by lesson, I guess, you just kind of figure it out. Like, it's not, I really did have this complex where I just felt like it wasn't for me, and I wasn't kind of the sort of guy who'd ever do this sort of thing. And yeah, I got thrown in a bit, and it turns out all right.
Wow.
So the story is crazy, but like what made you think to like, man, I got to like make an entire website for this, like the KanyeStory.com. It's not just a blog post, like it's an experience. You've obviously got our attention. You've been on some other blog posts. Like you've got this like ability. You're like, I'm going to take this and use it as a huge lever to sort of forward my career. Like, is that the plan? And like, what are you doing right now?
That's a really interesting way of looking at it. I think with whatever I do, it always starts off as something which is quite small. And then I just end up honing it. So I had the Kanye story wrote for about 6 or 7 months, but just never kind of got around to finishing it. And yeah, I guess the extra little details did help. No, I think like the Kanye story, I think is compartmentalized. I think that's, you know, that part of my life's over. It's a great part of my life. I don't want to truck this story around. I think this is the premiere, I guess, of the story. It's going nowhere else. Like it's, I don't want to, you know, be the guy who bangs on about the same thing. My parents are sick of me talking about it, to be honest with you. But what I did find is that this just fueled me a lot. So it gave me, I kind of learned, all right, I can do development now and I can actually take money on the internet. And I got really into marketing because of the whole billboard thing. It was kind of creative marketing.
Yeah.
So after the Kanye site, I kind of looked around like, what can I build next? And I love the phrase in business or life, I guess, that build the product that only you can build, write the book that only you can write, film the video series that only you can film. And I think that it's the way of escaping competition is through authenticity. So if, for example, look at maybe the Joe Rogan podcast, he's kind of his own guy. Like there's no... You can't compete with Joe Rogan because he does all these crazy things like jiu-jitsu. He's really into free speech, comedy, etc. And it's in a way, I guess, the same with you guys making the courses. Like if Scott Talinsky's Level Up Tups got kind of pulled from the air, or Wes Boss's courses got pulled off the internet. Actually, it's a pretty bad example of that because people would probably still find a way of doing it. But I think, just backing up from the Joe Rogan thing, I think that the idea with marketing example is to kind of, a few mistakes in here, but we'll run for it. I think you're kind of selling your own, like your own brand in a way, your own voice, your own style, and it's really authentic. I think that a good test is, let's say a venture capital company came along, 100 employees, millions of pounds of investment. Could they replace you? And to be honest with you, the answer is probably like, I don't think they could. People just like your guys' style. So, and also another example of that is refactoring UI. The two, Adam and Steve, the guys who do that thing. Mm-hmm. Like no matter how much money you have, you're not going to be able to kind of get rid of them. Like they just do it their own way and people love it. So the idea of this marketing example site is, just I do marketing in my own way, I guess, like try and conjure up my own style, my own voice and make it my own. And if any developers want to learn a bit more about marketing, yeah, definitely maybe check it out and you'll learn a few things.
Yeah, I was talking to Scott about that on Friday as well. I was like, the podcast is obviously like we're good at web development and we can talk to you. But like people listen for that but they also listen just as much for Scott's breakdancing stories or barbecue tips or Scott's transitions into ads and things like that. And that's, if you can sort of like double down and make it is who you are. Like, I even think like my pictures of barbecue on Instagram and whatever it is that I'm super into right now, I think that's just as important as sharing web development stuff, because people tend to latch onto that as well. And they just like you as the person, which I think is a kind of interesting way to go, because then you become, it's hard to replace that kind of thing because people like Scott, right?
Yeah. I mean, everybody's different, and those things that make us different are the things that are interesting, not whether or not I can, you know, set an index on a MongoDB database or something. But I wanted to talk a little bit about like the learning aspects of when you were learning to code. Specifically, you had mentioned that Code Academy had given you the Angular thing. I actually really love Code Academy's system. I like highly recommend for people that are learning to fly through the Code Academy courses. But I think it was just so, it's funny that you mentioned that it was very tough to know what to do next after HTML, and that it sort of threw you into the weeds with Angular. I'm interested in that period where you were like, all right, I want to build web stuff and I want to learn HTML. Were you just sort of flying at the whim of whatever the instructors, the computers were telling you to learn next? Or were there any particular things that influenced you in the technologies or the resources that you chose to learn?
Yeah, it's a great question. So specifically, the reason why I wanted to learn code was to make a website for my book and this art project we were doing. So I had HTML down from that point. And then there's Dreamweaver, which I had the Adobe suite of products like Premiere Pro and all that. So they had Dreamweaver. And again, I didn't have, there was no friends, there was no podcast that like, I was listening to. So I just kind of thought that Dreamweaver was the whole of the internet. It was the only IDE, I guess, the only text editor. So I was fumbling around and HTML, I think, for that. And I paid some developer on Fiverr to do a little bit of JavaScript for that project. But thinking back to Code Academy, all I really remember was just how kind of, I think how much of a black hole it felt. Like in reality, all I really had to do was just go onto forums and ask people for help. But I didn't ever think that was a possibility at the start. And when I figured out that it was, I would be on Reddit every single day. Like Reddit web development, I think I'm probably the most hated person on Stack Overflow over the last the last year. It's tricky to think back. I guess remember it being a slow grind until I kind of found like the Net Ninja. I did a lot of Wes's stuff. I did lots of Level Up Tuts. And I think those were probably the three which kind of, I mean, the Net Ninja, for example, so I don't have to keep plugging you.
He's got great content. Absolutely.
As an example, he does, actually, Level Up Tuts does this as well, but there's playlists. So you just feel like you get into safe hands. And on Code Academy, I just didn't feel like I was in safe hands. I felt like I was paying, on Code Academy, you can pay for like the premium, where it's like £5 a month, and this developer will kind of help you out with your problems. So I was paying that, and he was helping me out with Angular. And maybe, I don't know, I can't really remember it too well. Angular was just a bad time in my career, I think.
And we all have a checkered past with Angular. Nothing to be afraid of.
Checkered past.
Yeah, that's super interesting. One thing I do want to do is stop real quick for another one of our sponsors, which is Sanity at sanity.io. So what is Sanity? It's the ability to build a website with structured content. So where does your data go when you're trying to build a website with Gatsby or Next or PHP or pretty much any language you want to do? Where do you put your content? So Sanity is sort of two parts. The first is Sanity Studio, which is what you get when you log in. You can create instant UIs for complex data. You get real-time collaboration. It's all stored in what's called portable text, which means you're never going to be locked into a specific vendor, which is really important to me because you should be able to get your data out if you want to do it. And doing that in a standardized way is key. So you don't have to like write some sort of adapter to put it into another CMS. You can customize a backend with React.js, which is cool because like it's a hosted service. But if you do want to build custom UIs, you can do that with React.js. And then the other part is the content backend that they have, which is a powerful API. You can query all of the data. It's fully GDPR, EU hosted. Pretty nifty. If you're looking to build a website, you need something to do with your structured content, go to sanity.io/syntax, and you're going to get double what the free plan normally is. Thanks so much to Sanity for sponsoring.
So I'm really interested in a lot of the, I don't know, the learning aspects of your journey here and the things that you had to struggle through. I know you mentioned some of the bugs that showed up and then some of the things that were just born out of, you know, being a new developer and learning through these things. But I'm interested in your sort of process for pushing through bugs and figuring out what the problem was, debugging, those kind of situations, because those aren't skills that are easy to necessarily just have out of the box, debugging and troubleshooting skills. So I'm interested in what you did to pick up and understand how to solve problems, because that seems to be it definitely a blocker for a lot of new developers. When they hit a problem, they don't necessarily know where to go. I know you mentioned being hated on Stack Overflow and, you know, being a regular visitor. Is that just sort of your approach, is to just ask a lot of questions, or did you have another approach to solving bugs and finding issues?
So that's, again, really interesting, make me think back to this. So one learning right now from that is that when I worked for this, subsequently I did a bit of work for this development agency in London called Crowdform, and I'd be kind of like more of the junior developer, and there'd be this more senior developer there called Leo. I used to ask him loads of questions, and what I realized doing the back and forth with him was that he doesn't know the answers either to these things. Mm-hmm. Like, he can't debug my thing either, but what he has got is just more tenacity. It kind of comes back to the, if you think you can solve the problem, you'll solve the problem. And he would just Google for 10 minutes longer than me. He'd figure it out. So with the, specifically with the Yeezy Datum site, I did have a system. I ran into so many things that I got together a system. There was an online group called Work in Progress, which I was a member of. So I'd post everything on there. Anytime I had a problem, I'd write it out as in like a title, code embedded into the thing. And I post it on Work in Progress, then I post it on Reddit Web Development, then I post it on Reddit Node. And if it's specific to Mongo, I'd post it on Reddit Mongo. And then that was kind of it. I'd close my eyes. An hour later, I'd get at least one reply. And maybe I felt like a bit of a spammer doing that stuff, but to be honest with you, I was a bit desperate and people were just really, really nice. I think that's the thing about development, is that if you can somehow find like a mentor or a little online group, like Wes's Slack is a good example of this. People really love to help you. So when I was making the chat for Yeezy Datum, I used this thing called ChatKit. So it was by Pusher. I'm not sure if you have heard of it, but it was in its infancy. And they were so stoked to have like someone use their beta product. Mm. They pretty much just handhold me through it. So every single day, I'd be messaging on this Slack group. All right, guys, how do I do this? How do I do this? And they just walk you through it and you're kind of there. So I don't know, really. I guess struggle around enough and ask enough questions and you'll work it out.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it. Because too oftentimes, there's like a sort of famous comic of like a guy mining for diamonds, and he's hitting the diamonds and the diamonds are like an inch away and he's giving up. And then the guy below him is mining for diamonds and he's like not giving up and he's going to be the one that hits it. I mean, there's certainly like the person who has the most stick-to-itiveness, like perseverance to push through these things, usually walks away with the knowledge and metaphorical diamonds, so to say. Yeah, no, I think that's a great lesson for new people, is to just push through it, work hard to get that knowledge.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think that's really all the questions I have. Is there anything else that you want to, any wisdom that you want to impart? You seem so prolific, especially with your English accent there. Anything to say? It's like, wow.
No, I think the only thing, I'm in no position to give out any advice. I think the only thing I would take from this story is that I really sincerely think that the more clueless you are, actually, this is what I'd say, that every single person out there starts off and they're making it up as they go along. No one, like, we're talking about Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, Scott Tilinski, Wes, but no one knows what they're doing. And just understanding that is a really, it's really kind of refreshing. Mm-hmm. Because you also don't know what you're doing. And then slowly but surely you'll figure it out and you'll get there. And I think the only thing I take from this story is, if I can do it, anyone else can do it for sure.
Yeah, I love that. It's true. Like I really don't know what I'm doing like any more than anyone else, but I do know that I'm good at figuring things out and I'll be able to sort of make it happen. I think that's the attitude that you need sort of when you're sort of cowboying through all this stuff. All right, we're going to get into some sick picks. Sick picks are picks that are sick. And I don't know if you have anything, Harry, but I'll start myself off here. I recently switched to the Logitech's MX Master 2, something like that. It's a mouse, Bluetooth and wireless USB available. And it's pretty nifty. I've been using the Magic Mouse for a long time, and I love the Magic Mouse, but I thought I'd just try this one out. And it's really, really smooth. It's got all these different buttons that you can customize. I'm at maybe 3 or 4 days in so far, and it's taking a bit to get used to it. I didn't just like immediately love it, and I still don't immediately love it, but I really like the ergonomics of it. I really like the software that comes with it. And I think that if you're not getting a Magic Mouse, which is super unergonomic, the MX Master 2 is probably the best mouse that you can possibly get. And that was confirmed by very many people on Twitter and Instagram saying, I've had this one for a year and I absolutely love it. So check it out if you need a new mouse. I'll put a link in the description.
Nice. I have a sick pick, which is a TV show that I used to love when I was a kid. I don't know when this was on originally, and now it's back. I don't know how long it's been back for, but I recently found out that it's back. And that show is BattleBots. I don't know if you've ever watched BattleBots.
Is that with the robots?
Where robots are fighting in a cage. And it's awesome. I mean, the production value is just so nerdy and whatever, but it's so much fun. And I have such a lot of fun watching the robots beat each other up. So BattleBots has returned. And this is one of those things that I really love. So that's going to be my sick pick for the day.
That's how the Mythbuster, Grant Imahara, that's how he got sort of into the whole Mythbusters, is that he was like a champion at BattleBots.
Interesting.
And he's like just like one of those kind of guys that can build stuff like that. Harry, do you have a sick pick?
I do, yeah. Is one the maximum number of sick picks people can take? I could have two, but I'm not sure if we're restricted.
Go for it.
Go for it.
This is your only time on the show. Give it to us.
I'm going to get a sick pick. The Twitter, something called Twitter Demetricator. It's by this guy called Benjamin Grosser. And it basically hides all your Twitter and Instagram numbers. So your follow account, your likes on your tweets, your retweets, your notifications.
Oh.
And I started using it. Actually, when the Kanye story got so much attention originally, I downloaded this thing. It kind of gives you anxiety seeing all these messages, all these notifications. And I didn't want to make like stuff like followers or things like that a goal. So I think it's really healthy. And although I guess if you look at your Twitter more like a business, you probably do want to know, but it helps me a lot, and you can always turn it on and off. And the other thing I will throw in is there's this boxer called Tyson Fury, and he's got a dad called John Fury, and a video a week ago on YouTube, it's called Camp Life. Big John Fury gives tour of vintage caravan, 13 minutes long. And honestly, there's more wisdom in Big John Fury than probably the whole of the United Kingdom put together. Check out that video and you'll learn a couple of things, I think, about life.
Ooh, yeah, I like that.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm going to put that on.
Camper van life. I have a sick pick coming in, another one about somebody who travels around in a van as well, which is loving it. I'm not going to spoil it now because that's my sick pick for later, but I'll have to check this one out. Thank you. Awesome. Well, now we move into our shameless plugs. I'm going to plug all of my courses. This whole episode has been a plug for Scott and I's courses, but mine are available at westboss.com/courses, including the Node one that Harry used to contact Kanye West himself. What about you, Scott?
I have a new course on Level Up Tutorials called Dev Tools and Debugging that was released the last day of June. And I am currently recording the next series, which is going to be released next Wednesday. By the time you're listening, this is going to be to confirm July 31st is going to be released. It's going to be on Gatsby and e-commerce. So if you want to be building a store with Gatsby, you're going to want to check out the new Gatsby e-commerce tutorial series that's coming to Level Up Tutorials next week or the 31st of July. Thank you. And check it out at leveluptutorials.com/pro.
Before I get into that, I was just saying that when I started out, I was, you know, pretty clueless in the library, and both of you guys' courses pulled me through. I mean, I genuinely mean that. from kind of having no idea to being here. So it's a cool moment to be on the show, and I really appreciate you guys inviting me on. It means a lot.
Hey, we really appreciate you taking the time to tell us your story, because it's not only is it a wild one, but it's full of like awesome advice and awesome life lessons and awesome dev lessons. So I think the audience is really going to get a lot out of this in terms of seeing what just the power that you wield, you know?
Yeah. I honestly rather have like stories like that on this podcast, just because like you want to hear from someone who just did it, who you always want to like sort of trail behind somebody who's just a couple lengths ahead of you, rather than maybe like, I've said this before, but that's why I just don't understand why people love Elon Musk and Steve Jobs and stuff like that so much, because like, that's not inspiring to me at all. What's inspiring to me is like someone who's like, just, I don't know, 5 years ahead of me, where I'm just like, oh, wow, like, look what they've done in the last 5 years. I could do that in the next 5 years.
Totally.
Well, like I said, I've recently started this marketing project called marketingexamples.com. It's distilling real world marketing lessons into kind of short, concise summaries. There's a Twitter for that called @goodmarketinghq, where I kind of try and turn these examples into threads. So check that out. And also, I'm @HarryDry on Twitter. And any questions about the show or anything, just feel free to get in touch and I'll help out.
This website looks great, by the way. Another great little design here. Yeah it looks really nice.
Thank you. Sketch free, eh?
That's cool. I love the way you say H as well. H. Awesome. Well, I think that's it for today. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Thank you so much to Harry for coming on. Make sure you check his website out, marketingexamples.com. And we'd love to hear what you thought about the show at Syntax FM.
Yeah.
That's it for today. All right.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.